It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
And Lynch picks up a first down and more. Marshawn Lynch will go all the way, 50 yards for a Raiders touchdown. Carr over the middle, and then the ball came loose. It's ruled a touchdown. Johnny Holt crossed the plane before he lost the football, ruled a touchdown on the field.
Yes, it was. Raiders win against the Giants. Wasn't pretty at times. You heard the 51-yard run there on the TV call with Kenny Albert. Raiders are going in the right direction right now. No doubt. No doubt. By the way, we're tracking college basketball because we're heading into UNLV against Oral Roberts at the Grand Garden Arena. That's a 7 o'clock start, 6:30 with running Rebel warm-up and also watching some college basketball across the country. Jimmy V, Villanova taking on Gonzaga, 16-11. About 13 minutes left in the first half, and then, Boeheim and those pukes. Syracuse taking on UConn. Matt Schneidman's with us, Raiders beat reporter. What's up, Matt?
How are you? I actually went to Syracuse, so I'm familiar with what's going on at the Garden tonight.
Yes. I did it on purpose. the show is so shallow, and it's such an inside joke all the time. You wonder why the ratings are just not good. Matt, let's get into the game from Saturday. That was an unnecessary shot at Cuse. First of all, did they do anything different with Marshawn Lynch? It's not like he had 25 carries, but he had 17 for 101. Were there any different looks in what they've been giving Lynch over the first part of the season?
We talked to Donald Penn today, and that exact question was asked. And he didn't get angry, but he said, "You guys are looking for me to say we reinvented the wheel. I know you guys want an answer out of me saying we did something differently." But he said, we really haven't done anything different. The explanations we've got are they just see everyone sees Marshawn more life, more spunk, more speed coming out of his suspension. I would love to know what he's thinking, his view on it, but we obviously don't get to talk to him. I think he's running with more purpose. I think Kelechi Osemele on that 51-yard run particularly put down a mammoth of a block, and that really opened up that lane for Marshawn to run up the gut and to the end zone untouched. But I think the offensive line is, Penn also said this, the offensive line is starting to play better, not only as individuals, but as a whole five-man unit, which obviously they had some troubles with that early in the season against Washington and at Denver. So I think it's a combination of a little more purpose in his step from Lynch and also improved play of the offensive line as a whole.
I thought that play was important. Obviously, it led to a touchdown, directly to a touchdown. I also thought in the fourth quarter, he had a catch and run with about 11 minutes left in the game on a 3rd-and-7 and went for 21 yards. It was crazy because first off, he was kind of nifty, making a couple of guys miss, and then once a pack got on him, he carried him another 7 yards. That was a gigantic play. That was a 10-7 game in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm. And that was huge. I mean, they know Lynch isn't going to be a back like David Johnson from Arizona or Le'Veon Bell, who's going to be one of your best pass catchers on the night. Two catches for 20 yards, they'll take that. And like you said, especially the yards after contact he got on that play, Jeff Del Rio specifically pulled out that play in his postgame press conference and said, you know, that was vintage beast mode. That is the guy we signed to run like that. And it's interesting because we haven't seen too many of those kinds of quote-unquote beast mode plays in the running game. When he gets out in the open field and has space to run like he did after he caught that pass, the defenders don't stand a chance to bring him down at first contact. So, like you said, a very, very key first down conversion there. And if that's his only real contribution in the passing game, I think the Raiders are totally fine with that, because anything more than nothing, really, with right. him in the passing game is an added bonus, because they rely on guys like DeAndre Washington for that.
Doing our Tuesday Raiders Insider Spot, Matt Schneidman, nice enough to help out on this Tuesday from the San Jose Mercury News, at Matt Schneidman on Twitter. Let's talk about the receivers, because obviously they were down their two best receivers in Cooper and Crabtree. First on Cordell Patterson, I know praise was pretty high for him after the game, not just for what he did on offense, because he had again another great catch and run in the fourth. Did he put himself back into the mix on special teams? Wasn't he not supposed to play special teams across the board? I think he got himself back in there, right?
Yeah, so what happened was they had Obi Melifonwu in as one of the gunners because they said, you know what, Cordero, you're going to be a key player for us on offense today. We don't want to run you too hard, so we'll let Obi be a gunner since you're going to get so many snaps at wide receiver. And Patterson said, no, I still want to be a gunner. I can do it. And that helped because he had that one amazing shoestring tackle that he really celebrated after that one. That was a really nice tackle. And then I believe he had one other tackle that wasn't as spectacular, but still an important one to help out Marquette King's big day. But not only that, like you said, four catches for 97 yards. I know the bulk of that came on that 59-yard screen pass and run down the left side to set up Johnny Holton's touchdown. But we didn't expect one guy to really go off, and I don't think one guy did go off. We knew it was going to be a by-committee approach with Patterson, Holton, Seth Roberts. Clive Walford, three catches, 10 yards coming into Sunday. I thought Jared Cook was going to be a lot more of a factor with how many struggles the Giants have defending tight ends, but Clive Walford stepped up with a couple catches, and it was really just a by-committee thing. Yes, led by Patterson, who also obviously contributed on special teams, but I thought the Raiders compensated nicely before they get Crabtree back this week. Still don't know about Cooper, though.
Well, can Patterson catch a punt? Because maybe he can
they
fill
might
in
need
for Jalen Richard. What is going on back there?
Yeah, I think Jalen's going to hold on to his spot as the punt returner. We were talking to him today, and after the game, it's a shame that he drops three punts, obviously, from a Raiders perspective. I think they're going to keep him there. Obviously, if he drops another, I think they would make the change, but I don't know how many more you need to see. Three fumbles. The Raiders are lucky as heck to have recovered all of them. I'd be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised, but if I were the coach, and I guess there's a reason why I'm not, they would put T.J. Carey back there because he's their backup punt returner. I was waiting until the Giants punted again after that third fumble, which they didn't. I thought it was going to be interesting to see if they made a change, but that fourth punt or fourth chance for Richard to fumble never came.
Well, at some point, how about just don't put anybody back there? It's better than fumbling one.
I know, no kidding. It like I said, the Raiders got so lucky. It wasn't only those three fumbles. It was the two ducks Derek Carr lofted up and should have been easily intercepted. So that's five turnovers right there. Yes, the Raiders won the turnover battle. They had a plus two turnover margin, but it could have easily been minus three.
I'm glad you mentioned that because the second one was, I don't know who the hell he was throwing to deep downfield. There was no one around, and, I mean, that was a pretty easy interception. Here's the other thing that didn't help Carr. I thought it was very much a mixed bag. Like, we played the touchdown by Holton. I did not think he had a great game. He had a lot of drops. I mean, even on that play, he goes in for the touchdown, and he's real loose with the ball. And, you know, if it's anywhere else in the field, obviously it's a fumble. What's their impression of Holton in that role, you know, a chance to step up? I didn't think he had a great game.
Yeah, Todd Downing, it's funny you say that, and it's obviously true. Todd Downing stressed last Thursday how much better Holton's hands have gotten. So I guess it's kind of ironic that he had that fumble that he lost, and like you said, lucky that he was at the goal line at the second one, because that would have been a fumble too. I asked Derek after the game, you know, did he have to say anything to Johnny after that fumble? Looked headed for the open field with his speed, and after securing the first down, he just fumbled. And he said, no, Johnny's a guy who knows what he has to fix. I didn't have to say anything. Obviously, that was the game clincher there, him securing that touchdown, or quote-unquote securing it before he crossed the goal line. But I definitely think in Holton's big plays this season, it's kind of gotten lost a little bit that he may need some work in the shorter reception department. And I think he was exposed a little bit in that on Sunday, because we saw he wasn't catching 40-yard bombs from Carr anymore, which is his strong suit, blazing past secondaries. Catching and running, catching 10-yard passes isn't exactly his strong suit, and what Todd Downing said, I guess, didn't turn out to be true. Holton did have that nice double toe tap down near the right pylon toward the end of the game, which I thought was a great catch, but definitely, like you said, a mixed bag is exactly how I would describe it, and I guess Todd Downing will say again, his hands are improving, but we certainly didn't see that on Sunday.
You referenced earlier, you know, Crabtree will be back. Cooper, we're not sure. Cook, how are we looking on that one? So some pass-catching issues could be, you know, rising to the forefront on Sunday.
Yeah, I think Jared Cook's fine. I know he was checked out during the game in the medical tent. He seems to be fine. The concerning thing about Cooper is he still hasn't cleared the concussion protocol. we thought, at least the common sentiment among the reporters was that it was the ankle. It was more so the left ankle that was holding him back. I asked Jack Del Rio on Friday, you know, has it cleared the concussion protocol? Is it just the ankle at this point that's preventing him from play against the Giants, or is it both? And he didn't answer. He just said, yeah, he's not going to play this Sunday. But I was surprised to hear today when the Raiders spokesman told us he still hasn't cleared the concussion protocol. And that's concerning, I think, because you see a guy like Devontae Adams from the Packers, who got almost beheaded earlier in the season, he played the next weekend. So I think, at least from watching games this season, the concussion protocol is easier to clear than something like a sprained ankle that nags day after day. But it is a little concerning that the concussion is still there. And I think another telling sign is when they activated Crabtree back to the 53-man roster, they didn't send Isaac Whitney back down to the practice squad. They kept him, the guy who they called up from the practice squad last week, with both those guys out. So I think they're bracing for another Cooper DNP in the worst-case scenario. So we'll see if he plays. If I was a betting man, I know we're talking to a Las Vegas station. If I was a betting man, I would say he doesn't play, but we'll see as the week plays out.
Hey, Matt, we appreciate it. Enjoy the trip to Kansas City.
I'll try. Appreciate it, guys. Talk to you soon.
Good luck to your orange, too. There you go. Matt Schneidman, San Jose Mercury News.